recorder going. And the date stamp for today, for the sake of the recording, is 6/22/22. And Pop, take it away.
Okay, Ron. Thank you so much. And we're gonna go back to 1 Timothy 5. We got done with 4, the last study. And we got down to the third verse in 1 Timothy 5, but we didn't read, I don't think we read Jack's thing on that. I think I just read my notes on that one. So let's go back and pick up kindly in midterm on verse 3 of chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. And this verse 3 is short one. It says, honor widows who are indeed widows. Widows honor that indeed widows. And so that's Jack's rendering out of the Koine Greek. And I'll just read his notes and we'll just pick up with the notes and go on, because I got 4, 5, and 6 ready to do anyway, but we'll pick up where we left off. It says the body of Christ has always been solicitous of its widow population. The priorities are those who have no means of support. At various times in church history, the widows have occupied various stations in the assemblies. Sometimes the widows were enlisted in the care of orphans or other indigents. In some cases, they were even given certain special status in the assembly. However, these instances are a matter of local and temporary practices. And then we've got the verses that we need to go back in the cover and look at it there in verse 3. But now, just for a little bit of history on chapter 5 and verses 2 through 16, are dealing basically with the women and the younger women. The first one started off with talking about an elder. But then from 2 through 16, they're basically involved in the women's situation. And so Timothy is an unmarried individual. I think even here, and so this was something that Paul wanted him to be really sure of and concerned with, concerning the women, we find in all the time, because I don't think that changes a whole lot. Because basically a lot of times women outlive the men. And so therefore you have widows occasionally.
They're smarter than we are.
Yeah, and of course. they basically didn't get out as much. They were more homebodies, I think, at that time than they were maybe now, because as we went this about 2,000 years, it's made a big difference in the way that women is taking part in society, you know. And so, but now you can run into all kinds of things. And of course, these verses of scripture are going to get involved in that too as we go through them. So let's start off with, and we're going to look first at the book of Matthew. Turn with me to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, we're going to look at verses 5 and 6 of Matthew 15. And it's on page 1342. And it says this, in 5 and 6, "But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father and his mother, or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God none effect by your tradition." Because here he's saying, look, in Matthew, here one, a man can get to be a man of his own, and he can get grown, and he can say, "I'm out of here." And then the father may have already passed away, or may still be there, but not in good health. So, you know, you have all kinds of situations here that you can think about. But this young man might be of the age of being able to get married, and he wants to get out and start living for himself, and he may move away. He may not stay where he was born. And so, you know, here's the situation that, you know, you can look at and see a lot of things going, because, you know, we've all come to the point where we've met somebody, or most of us have, we've met somebody and decided to start our own family, and sometimes we didn't stay where we were. I didn't. I went to Atlanta, Georgia. And I had stayed with my grandma for all those years in high school, from the seventh grade on. And when I graduated, I packed up my bag. I shouldn't have done it, maybe. And I said, "Bye, Granny." Just left her there. And I thought about that a lot in my life. And so, for the young man and for you that have young people, remember this, because it's a telling thing, because my grandmother stayed there because she didn't like to stay by herself where her house was. But that's the only house she had. But now she had another place she could go and be close to the road, which was because her daughter had left and moved to Florida. Well, I was a grandson, so, but still, she stuck her neck out for me while I was there, because she washed my clothes and
put a roof over your head. Did
all the things that we needed to do to make it go. And because she wanted to be there at her little farm and take care of it and make a little money, because, you know, she sewed and made quilts and done all this other stuff and never let anything go to waste, and fed half of our uncles and aunts and their children anyway. And I kind of get peed off sometime about, you know, going out and picking blackberries, and one of my uncles sitting around eating blackberry jelly saying, "Boy, this is good." And just think about it, I don't have to even touch one until it gets in the jar. And so,
that's pretty arrogant.
But, you know, this is the situation. I could have said a lot of things, but I didn't do it. So, that was my requite there. I kept quiet. I didn't blow off at this, because I'm going to get involved in that a little bit too, a little later on. So, here we go. That was number one. Two, we're going to go to Acts 6. We're going to go to Acts 6. 1 through 4. I'm at Acts 10. Maybe I'll make it 6. Yeah. Acts 6:1 is on page 1589 if you have a companion Bible. And, you know, this is, we're getting now, right after Ananias and Sapphira, we're getting there about the murmuring and the stuff that went on in the assemblies with the widows. Acts 6:1 says, in those days when the numbers of the disciples were multiplied, there arose murmurings of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. So it said they were being overlooked of the daily ministering or the relief that they were getting because, you know, they had took this money and put it on a place to where they could all partake of it if they needed something.
And incidentally, the translation here, I think, for Grecians is Greek-speaking Jews.
Yeah.
These are not Gentiles.
Yeah. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint to this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So that was basically how all that came by. And this is where, who was it that gave his life there from those 7 men that they chose?
Stephen,
yeah. And Paul was taking care of their coats while they were stoning Stephen in Acts, on over in Acts a little bit there. So we've got that to think back to, too, also. Okay, while we're there, let's go to Acts 9. Acts 9:39-41. Okay. So here we go in Acts 9. And that's on page 1601. If you have a companion Bible. It said, then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, turning him to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. Now I had a great aunt named Tabitha, and she was a shoemaker in North Carolina, and her and her mother made shoes for a living for people back then. And so this is Acts 6 and Acts 9 there. Okay, that's 3. Because you see, the women are still involved in all this stuff and should be. 1 Corinthians 7. Let me get over past Romans. 1 Corinthians 7. We're going to look at verse 8. I don't know why I didn't. Oh, 6 through 8. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. This, of course, is Paul speaking in the early dispensation. For I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. So, you know, it goes back to another situation there that we really haven't talked about. But when you talk about these people of family or this, that, and the other, you can find any and every kind of thing going on. And this is what Paul is trying to tell Timothy. Boy, you're going to be caught up in a lot of the stuff that you need to work out. You need to get it ironed out. And so these women can help you. These widows can really help you. Because I had one that really helped me. That was my grandmother. And, she was like the lady that come up to me at a funeral one time and said, "You know who I am?" And I said, "Well, you're familiar." But see, my grandmother had a trail across through her place. And this woman lived across the creek on the other side of the creek. And we called her the old maid of the community. Good looking lady. And I'm sure she wouldn't say bad things about me for calling her name, but she would come by, and her and Grandma would sit on the porch and talk for a long time. And she stood there at that funeral parlor that night and said, "Cecil, said your grandmother told me things that helped me immensely in my life because I married a preacher, and she was a preacher's wife." And said, "That was something that I couldn't have got no other place that I knew to go to. Get it." And I said, "Well, God bless you." I said, "She done me the same way. She give me understanding, and I really couldn't have got much." But see, when the understanding that I was looking for come along, I grabbed it just with both hands as hard as I could when I understood the truth that Brother Dyer come with. So therefore, you know, I was kind of like the lady that I was talking to, that me and her both really was at the right place at the right time to get the right message that the Lord had for us. Okay, one more here. No, let's see. Two more. We're going to look at Ephesians 6:2. So we're going to go to Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians 6:2. Okay, I'm going to do 6:1, 2, and 3. Children. And this is on page 1769. If you have a CB, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so I can't pass that up without saying that if you've ever met me, you've probably met the oldest McCreary you've ever seen. Not that there were some that lived longer than me, but not in your lifetime. I think I can say that, too. Okay, we're going to one more. We're going to Titus. Okay, we're going to go to Titus. And Titus 2. Before Hebrews is Titus. We're going to look at Titus 2. And we're going to look at verse 3. Well, let's look at 2, 3, and 4. That the aged men be sober. Talking about sound doctrine. The aged men being sober, grave tempered, sound in faith, and charity and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, and to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And I went through 5 verses, but I think that's good information for anybody for any day.
Amen.
Okay. So that wound up what we didn't get in verse 3 last time. Now, let me go back to Timothy 5, and we'll read 5:4, because this is where today starts. This is number 145. It's kind of far down in the list now, but it's study 145. Okay. And it says this, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So here's 2 words that we don't often see in Scripture. One of them is piety, and the other one is the word requite in the same verse of Scripture. Now, here we're still talking about the widows. From 3 to 10, generally talks about the widows. And so this is 4. Let me read my notes. It says, but if any widow have children or grandchildren or other descendants with her, first let those of their house, which is their charges, learn from the widow to be pious. And the word pious there is to give and to receive treatment reverently. You can be pious and not know the Lord. Because if you're dealing with mother, grandmother, or any of your elders, you need to show that piety. P-I-E-T-Y, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. Because they needed to be treated reverently, and especially if you're old enough to understand that you need to look toward godly things, that is really a needful thing. To give and to receive treatment reverently, whether to God or with whom those they live. This word piety is P-I-E-T-Y. And I'm big on breaking it down to the alphabet. So here goes. It's like my GPS. God's perfect son. And piety is power into energy through you. And that's something that God can give you without you knowing it. Because he has given you a mind for understanding. And part of that understanding would realize and understand the power of God and the power of God when you look at it and you look and place God in your life in that way, then he has the power for life or death. So he has you in his hands whether you have him in your heart or not. That's as good and close as I can get it to you. Okay, the power there into. So God can delegate power. And sometimes God works the work in you without you knowing it. Because, you see, if you've been chosen of God, and you may not, if you've never given your life over to him, then you may not know that you're chosen. That may come later. Happened to me. But still, I was trained to understand that God is God. So it's power into energy. And boy, does young people ever have energy. Now I'm 84 years old, or will be next year, and I've come to realize that the young people have all the energy, mostly now. I've spent a lot of my energy checks that God has given to me. Maybe for foolish things sometimes. But here we are, power into energy through you. And that always gives you a leg up on your testimony. And if you come to understand this truth and get to know God and to be part of his dealings because he has chosen you for something, that is very important. That you have that testimony that's been working through you, maybe that you didn't even know. Mm-hmm. And that's my mini sermon for today. Okay, but we're not through yet. But we're talking about this word and to requite. The first time that requite comes up in the Word of God is the last chapter of Genesis. I don't remember if it's 49 or 50. But it's verse 15. I think Ronnie's going to Google it up here. It's either 49:15 or 50:15.
Quiet.
Yeah.
Genesis 50:15.
Okay. Read it. You got it on the screen.
Well, I can't have. Hold on. Let me expand my window here a little bit. Yeah, it says, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did of him.
Pay back.
Repay.
It's repay. Oh boy. Joseph is going to pay us back. Guess what? You know, whenever they first met Joseph, Joseph knew them and but they didn't know him. And whenever they went home, and he asked them, said, "You got a father still living?" They said, "Yeah." He said, "Next time you come down to Egypt here, bring him." Said, "I want to see him. I want to talk to him." They said, "Okay." So they got their corn, loaded it up. Whenever they got home, they undone the bags. And guess what? The money was in the bags. He had given it back to his brother. So you see, the repay most times doesn't work unless it's for the good. And this time it was for the good. He had forgiven his brothers for what they had done to him. And all he asked him to do was bring the father so the father could see him and understand that he wasn't dead. So that's what required is. And that's to pay proper respect. And that's another part of your, if you have been chosen by God to do something, that is another part of your testimony. Those two words are to burn in our minds and to be remembered from now on. Because it's really necessary. Because they need to pay proper respect. Now, Grandma may be in charge here. She may be the person, it's the adult in the family. Because a lot of these people that had children were really busy and didn't probably pay as much attention to their own kids as they ought to, but Grandma was there. Grandma could take care of them. And so here's the situation there. They need to pay that respect not only to Grandma, but to their own parents too. Because this is good and acceptable before God, it says in Scripture, in that verse of Scripture. Okay. Did we learn anything about that here? Does that make sense to everybody? You know, because you can get into any kind of situation talking about this kind of stuff here. Four. Let's look at verse 4. And the Koine. And it says this. Down from the Koine Greek into the English. If but any widow children or descendants have, let them learn first their own house to be pious and recompense to requite the forefathers, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. But if any widows have children or descendants, first let their own house learn to be pious and to recompense the forefathers, for this is acceptable before God. Okay. Now let's read what Jack says in his notes. In 4. We're speaking of a widow living with her family, should she have one. The accent is on the family's testimony. The members of the family should be truly pious in good works. That's piety. The word pious and piety means to show holiness or godliness in your life in that way. The members of the family should truly be pious in households, should take the lead in teaching the youngers or needier members. In this way, the forefathers will be rewarded or recompensed, even though they may have been deceased. Of course, those who remain will also be gratified to see their family members worthy in their Christ-like walks. Above all, the activities come under the sight of God. Is he pleased with the family's growth and walk? This is what Jack is asking. Is he pleased with the family's growth and walk? So here we've got another few verses of scripture to look at too. And we'll look at them while we're here. Now, we're going to start here in 2 Corinthians and go from there. In 2 Corinthians, let me get over to 2 Corinthians. Okay. I got there now. Let's see where I need to go to. 6:13. I think we was in 6 while I go, yeah. Because I had two markers in there and I knew to leave one in the book. Okay, we're going to look at 6:13. Now for a recompense. In the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with the unrighteous? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? So he was showing you the right hand and the left hand of these individuals there that would, you could probably be unequally yoked with any of them. And the fact is that you know, it might cause problems down the road. Okay. Now we want to go from 2 Corinthians 7 to 12. And we're going to go to verse 14 and 15. I hadn't marked that one with a thing, but I got there anyway. Okay, we're going to do 14 and 15 of 2 Corinthians 12. And Paul says this, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for their parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. So Paul says, even when I'm coming in your presence, you know, I lose a little bit of the esteem that I might have gathered by that because of what I had done to the church beforehand or to the assembly beforehand. Okay, we're going to go from there. We're going to go back to Ephesians 6 again. And it seems like we're going back over the same. Seems like we're going back over some of the same stuff, but not necessarily. Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. 1769. is the page number if you got a CV. And it says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, this is the piety here. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Okay, that's Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. And we're going to go from there, we're going to go to Colossians again. Okay, Colossians, what did that say? 3, 20 and 21. Again, it's in Colossians, used over again, almost the same. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So you see, the children were told to do this and to obey your parents or to honor your parents. And then after that, you know, it's a thing with the fathers to not to provoke them to do something they shouldn't do, but to admonish them in the work of the Lord, to pull them along that way. Colossians 3, 20-21. Okay. We're going somewhere where we don't usually go. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians is one of them. We're going to look at three places. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3. Well, we're going to read 2, 3, and 4. Yeah. 1788. 2, 3, and 4. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He says, we know of your calling of God. Okay. We're going to go to the next page, I guess. It's 219. If you got a companion Bible, you have to turn the page. 219. Very last two verses of chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. It says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? What is all this? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory, and I'll just add that, our joy. Where it was written in 1 Thessalonians 2. Then we want to go. I don't think you'll have to turn the page on this one. We're going to look at 3, 9 through 13. And we'll be out of Thessalonians. But the three things that Jack wanted to see here in Thessalonians are these. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our ways unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So that's the three places in Thessalonians that Jack wanted us to look. There's two more. 1 Timothy 2. But I'll just go and do the, that's on 1801. Let's just start at the chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And then let's go back to 1 John 3, 19 and 20. Let's see, it's 1 John 1 John. Okay, 1 John 3. Let's start with 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our heart. He knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So that goes along with verse 4 of what we had just read in 1 Timothy 5:4. Now, let me get back to my Timothy chapter. Okay, we're going to verse 5. How much time we got left, Ron?
It's 9:23.
Okay, we'll do that one right quick, and we'll call it a day. Let me turn the page. I got my notes on the other page. Okay, 1 Timothy 5:5. And it says, now the elder woman, she that is a widow, indeed. And there's that word, indeed. And it's it kind of goes back to that first verse we read in Matthew when the young man said, "Mom, I'm out of here." It's like he meant what he said, but he shouldn't be saying it. Okay, so we'll leave it that way. "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." So she is a widow indeed that knows the Lord. Okay. And here's my notes. "The elder widow, now she that is a widow indeed, if any sons or daughters have moved away and left her desolate or alone, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayer night and day, she asks God for her help in her everyday situation, and that should come from her assembly." And let's look at Jack's and what Jack has said. There's only three verses in this that goes along with five. It says, down from the Koine Greek, "She but indeed a widow and left alone has set her hope upon God and continues in supplications and in prayers night and day." That's basically the way it is in the more modern English. And so Jack says, "Now we speak of the widow who lives by herself. Naturally, we're speaking of body members. This woman has set her hope upon God. She is not looking to human beings to help her in this world. She has a life of prayer accomplishment. She supplicates to him for her temporal needs. The assembly has a duty to look after her needs. They are her family now." And so there's three places that Jack wants us to look at. And so we've passed it up all night, but we're going to go back to it now. And this is the book of Romans. Okay, Romans 5, 1, 2, and 3. Romans 5, 1, 2, and 3. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And so, talking to the assembly here, that's exactly how it's supposed to go. The Holy Spirit through the assembly, or with the assembly, should take up this one that's alone and to carry out the things that she needs. Okay, we're going to look back at Philippians 3. Now look at Philippians 3:3. 1, 2, 3. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God, in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Okay, now we're going to go back to 1 John again. I should have left my finger in there a while ago, but I had a marker in it anyway. 1 John 3:1-3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So, I guess the question here is, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us? Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purify himself, even as he is pure. And so we'll leave it off there tonight with that verse, the saying that when he appears, we shall appear like him, because we shall see him as he is. Not as we might think he is, or what we think he might be. That we shall see him as he is, because we will be part of him. So thank you for being with us tonight, and realize and understand that these things that's being said can be very variable, because we don't know other people's situations. Many times we don't know it at all. A lot of people like to be self-sufficient if possible. And so sometimes, like my wife used to say to me, Cecil, you're not paying enough attention. There's something going on with these folks. And I said, honey, that's your job. But she could pick up on it in a minute. And I guess I'm a little bullheaded or something, you know. But that's not only a woman, but it's a mother's thing too. You know, you learn that through your own children, or should. And I'll say should anyway. And so therefore, it's something that we need to pay attention to, because lots of times people are in need of maybe just being a friend or having somebody to talk to that will get them through the day or the week or the month or whatever. And a lot of times we're so busy we just don't pay enough attention to it. But, Lord, my prayer is tonight that we really need to be cognizant of those that's around us, because we have every percentage God has given to us, his son, therefore bringing that percentage to us. And we need to do it with piety, and we don't need to do anything that will cause anyone to think that we're paying them back for anything that's happened. Yeah. God bless you.
Thank you, Pop.